So sorry for this picture. This is our new series, so you have to see us a few times, right? Leeches. Oh, man. I've only had one run-in with leeches my whole life. Me and a couple other people, some stagnant water on like a little eddy in a creek that we were swimming in. And I can tell you a couple of things about leeches. One is they're easier to notice on somebody else. We got out of the water, that's where I saw them. I was like, they're on the other person, right? And the other thing is, once leeches are discovered, like, everything else stops, right? There's no like, well, let's set up camp, you know, like, maybe we'll mess with that tomorrow. I'm more of a morning person. Like, as soon as somebody notices leeches, like, everything's, like, drop everything. Let's fix this problem, right? Because we know, like, they're disgusting and gross, but they also, they're literally going to pull the life out of you, right? And Jesus has called us to life to the full. A full life, an overflowing life, winds up being a generous lifestyle, right? But for a lot of us, we would say, I'm following Jesus, and I'm stretched thin, and it's hard to be generous. And if I got to give something, it feels more like squeezing a mostly dry towel for a couple more drops than it does like a flowing spring of water, right? So there could be that there's something evil and gross sucking away the goodness that we should be full of. And so this whole quarter, the next few months, we're going to be talking about fullness and a generous life. But our first series is we want to pull some of those gross things off, right? And as we're talking on Sundays, if you really want to go deeper with it, scuba on Wednesdays is about getting held accountable. I know from the scuba group, sometimes people are like, I don't really know what to confess this week, right? Like, I guess I was impatient or something, right? Well, whatever Jesus is laying on you today, that's the sort of stuff you can bring up to other Christians and say, this is what I need to be working on. Have other people help you with it, right? So when it comes to generous life, before we get into like today's leech that we're going to talk about, there's two areas of life where people normally feel strapped, but where Jesus really wants us to be open-handed with him and with others, okay? So we go to this next slide here. We got these two areas of life. We got the clock, the time, and your finances or your money. Now, I won't make you go around and stand up and give a story or anything, but my guess is everybody in the room feels like they don't have enough, probably of both of these, and my guess would be at least one of these things, right? So think about it for you. If you had to pick right now and say, which one of these do you not have enough of, in your own mind, think, is it time? Is it money? I'll even let you to say both, right? I'll even let you say both if you want. Now, facing that for yourself, I want to just push aside a lie that we buy into a lot, which is, if only I had more time, that would fix my busyness. Or if only I had more money, then I would do whatever loving thing you're not currently doing. Do you ever notice if you've been telling yourself, like, oh, if only I had more time, that never seems to work out? Like, no matter what stage of life you're in, you're not like, well, I've arrived. Now I've become just the type of patient person I wanted to be, because it really was just a busy season or something, right? Like, maybe, but typically not. And the inverse is actually true. If you look into stats on finances, the richer somebody becomes after just a certain point of you can barely afford your own food. Once you get past that, the most generous people percentage-wise are the people at the bottom of the income scale. The more rich you get, the less of your stuff percentage-wise you give away. Once, right? Like, people think like, oh, once I have enough to cover this mortgage or whatever, I'll be more generous. But the truth is, when you're living in a recovery house arguing over dishes, you're willing to give more of your total amount of resources to help somebody else who's having a hard day than you are once you get the car payment and whatever else going, right? It tends to be we just like a goldfish, we kind of swell up to whatever our living environment is, and we tend to stretch thin. And when you notice that pattern of like, even if your life is kind of empty, you tend to stretch thin with your time, or you stretch thin with your money, that doesn't come from a life that trusts God and is satisfied in God. It comes from chasing and grasping, either for some sort of protection against a fear, right? Or some sort of, I need this to be happy, right? So there's a few different leeches we're going to look at in the coming weeks. The very first one we're going to look at, though, has to get with our attitude towards God. Before we can really get into any other stuff with this series, I want us to take a hard look at who we are and who God is and getting that relationship right. Because if we don't have that relationship right, nothing else is going to flow correctly. And when you look at the story of the whole Bible, sometimes it's, you know, it's hard to simplify it down. But God has been reaching out to humanity, building a relationship with humanity over thousands of years. And a lot of times we focus right in towards the end of the biblical text on the Gospels on Jesus. Today we're going to take a step back further to the Old Testament times. God was taking a group of people that had been enslaved, had a terrible life, all sorts of problems and pain, and he took them and set them free. And my guess is for a lot of people in the room, you can have some connection, right? Of a past where you felt enslaved and abused and you couldn't break free on your own. But then God got involved, took the shackles off. But just because the shackles were off, maybe your addiction or whatever else was done, or you got a little bit of clean time, didn't mean all your problems were solved. And even if you're in the midst of just trying to get your life together, I think you're in a good spot for this passage we're about to read. This is God talking to a group of people. He set them free, but he hasn't set them up yet in life. He's saying, I'm going to take you to a good spot where you've got a good job, you got a good prospects for your kids. I'm going to give you a lot of blessing. But before you get there, I've got some advice. And so whether you've got a day clean or whether you've been a Christian for 75 years, this advice is for folks that say, when stuff starts going right on the outside of your life, how do you make sure your inside condition doesn't go sour? Okay, so that's what we're going to be looking at. It's Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you've never been to Deuteronomy before, it's right there towards the beginning of the Bible. It's one of those first big books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'd like you to actually turn there. I'm going to read 8 or 9 verses, and I'm not going to put anything on the screen for a little bit. When we get to the screen stuff, if I lost you, I'm going to catch you back up, okay? I'm going to put a couple key verses on. But try to stick with me. So God's talking here to a group of people, and even though they've gotten set free and they've been really humbled by life, they're going to become prideful. And my guess is you're in one of those two spots currently. Either life has been tough enough on you that today you're pretty humble, or life was tough a while ago, and now things are back together, and you're feeling like you can handle things yourself. And if you're in either of those two spots, this is good advice for you, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. This is talking about these slaves, the Israelites, when they come into this promised land, and things start to go well for them. Verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. How many of you, as stuff starts going right in your life, it gets hard to even remember God? You can go through a whole day where everything's going right and you don't think about Jesus, right? It's different when everything's wrong. Okay, verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, some of you have lived this life. Verse 14, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness. Think about your own life and where you've come from. Has God led you through a vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions? He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna, this like miraculous bread, to eat in the wilderness. Something your ancestors had never known, to do what? What does it say? To humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. I'm going to pause us there for a second. God made them for a little while where they couldn't even take care of themselves, where every day, just to get food, they had to lean directly on God. He did that to build some humbleness into them so it could go good for you, for them. In your life, God may have seen where you were at and said, the best I can give you right now is to make you dependent on somebody else for your daily necessities, because you're going to need a big dose of humility if I'm ever going to be able to bless you. Like when you look back your life, you see a stage where Jesus like spoon-fed you humility, right? It's not the most fun thing to go through. We want to learn the lessons when we get them there, right? So we don't have to get them retaught. Here's our key verses, these last two ones. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. In our American culture, there's this dream of like pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, work 90 hours a week, don't need anybody else's help, and make it on your own. And when you do make it on your own, then feel good that you did it. Lots of people who do get some success in life, they start to feel like, I did this. My hard work did this. It's a very dangerous place for your heart to be. Look at verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the what? Ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant with he swore to your ancestors as it is today. No matter who you are, no matter if you came from a slum and you created some crazy big company, God gave you your eyesight, your brain, your body. There's nobody that gets through life on their own steam. There's nobody that can really say, if I was born in somebody else's shoes in the middle of a slum in Kenya, I'd still be just as successful with this company or whatever. Like, probably not. Right? Even if you worked really hard. All of us stand because God has put some earth under our feet, something to stand on. But when we go through life, it's easy to start to think, I'm the adult in the room, and maybe I'll talk to God a little bit, but I can make it on my own. And when we feel like we can make it on our own, then the pressure is on for us to make it on our own. And so we start to stretch ourselves thin with our time or with our money. And maybe we think that we're so selfless that we don't even ask other people or even God for a lot of help. We pray for God to fix all the other people, but we don't really pray for ourselves, right? That's typically a telltale sign, not of how generous you are, but of how prideful you are, that you don't ask Jesus to help, that you don't view God as your loving Father who wants to take care of you. It comes from a lack of childlikeness in our heart. So here's what I want us to do. I've got one of these verses highlighted a little bit. Here you go. I've got these two words highlighted. Remember God, and remember that it's God who gives us our abilities. So when we're going through life and we get stressed out about we don't have enough, we need to take a deep breath and remember that God's been there through all sorts of stuff in our past, and he's brought us to today. Whatever thing you're struggling with today that you're stressing on, it's probably not the hardest thing you've ever been through. I mean, it might be, but it can't be like that every week, right? And probably God's brought you through other things. Remember, he is God, and you're one of his kids. If you had an adult who loved you when you were a little kid, you approach life very differently, right? We should approach life like we're God's kid, and he's our good father who loves us. When we remember it, it changes how we spend our time or our money. And when you go through life with gratitude, because God's given you the ability to do the different things you're doing, you start to hold things less tightly. So I've got kind of some practical things we're gonna get into here in the last 10 minutes. But the thing you need to decide right now is like, are you in or are you out? Do you see like this leech of feeling like I can do it on my own? I wanna pull that off. How many people are like, yes, I want to be more humble in my approach. I want to be more generous with my time, with my money, right? It's a lot of us, right? I want to give us some practicality. And here's the deal. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to everybody who comes to him and says, Jesus, I want you to live in me. I need your help. I can't do it on my own. I want to do things your way. So I'm going to lean on the Holy Spirit this week with you all. I'm not going to give you a bunch of tips on how to use that extra time or use that extra money. I want you to come with expectation that Jesus is going to make good use of whatever kind of extra time you have, and that Jesus is going to make good use of whatever extra money you have. But I want us to just come as a kid and say, like, I want to take a step towards getting better at this. And so I want to give you a couple tips on just how to loosen up a little bit. If you've been riding so tight, you don't even begin to know how to be generous. So I want to just give you a few tips on how to make it easier to be generous when the Holy Spirit does knock on your heart and say, hey, take care of this person. Hey, do something for them. Okay, so first thing, if you're a person out there that's like, time was my issue. I struggle to have enough time to be patient with my kids. I struggle to get all my stuff done, or I'm always tired and exhausted. I want to show this list. This is very Jake Taylor advice, but I think it could help us. I have a list here, and if you're a busy person, maybe you're the type of person who often makes to-do lists. Some people love them, some people hate them, but they can be overwhelming if you're really busy, right? Because there's a whole bunch of boxes and not a lot of time. I want to challenge you, especially if you've never done this before, to instead of making a list of all that stuff you need to get done, I want you to make a list of the stuff that probably was gonna happen this week that you're gonna decide not to do. So this is called a dump list. So this can be like, maybe you're just gonna let the grass get really big in your backyard for right now. Not forever, not enough to get the city called on you, but just this week, you're gonna get a D+ on your yard and you just decide it, right? Or you know, like I made the kids hot dogs last night in the oven. It was super simple. We didn't have a super healthy meal. It was easy, and we got through the evening, right? Christy wasn't there, and it was just like we got through, right? You don't always have to be A+ at everything in your life. And so you sit down with Jesus and say, what's the area to let go of? Instead of trying to be everything in all these ways and stretching out and being a frustrated, impatient, unavailable person, I'm gonna do less and be available for whatever interruptions which is sometimes what people with a lot of expectations call the opportunities that God gives them, call them interruptions, right? I'm going to be open to the interruptions. I'm going to choose to do less. I'm going to take some things off my plate so I can be available. Because here's the thing, real quick before we move on from time. Every single day, God gives Chase 24 hours. And he gives Cassie's right behind him, Cassie back there 24 hours, right? Jason's given a gift of 24 hours every day. You are not owed Tuesday of this coming week. Everybody here has full expectations that we're going to live through Tuesday. Like, nobody's planning on like, oh, yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, I don't want to make firm plans for Wednesday. I don't know about Tuesday yet. Nobody here approaches your week that way. And nobody here is going to take Tuesday as a gift. We already have it planned out in our head. We've already spent the time. It hasn't even been given to us yet. I don't know if you're like me. I had grandparents that lived far away as a kid. They always gave me about the same amount of money Christmas and birthday. And in my head, I could start to like spend it before I even had it, right? Because I got to be a little expectant punk, right? And like, you don't want to approach God that way. Every day, he gives you time. And if every day you act like you don't have enough time, you're being pretty ungrateful, right? So just practically speaking, like, do a little bit less. Your pastor's telling you, right? Like, do a little bit less in your life and be more open to doing it well with Jesus, okay? Same kind of idea with the money thing, but we're going to switch to this next slide. I couldn't find a picture of this with a smaller bill, so you don't have to do this with $100, but the idea is whatever you can be generous with, whether that's whatever number of money, I want you to find some flexibility in your budget. If you spend money a lot, maybe it's just you choose, like, I'm not going to buy that next thing I would have bought. If you don't spend a lot of money, you can follow Jesus' advice in Luke 12. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor, right? So you probably have something you could sell. What I'm saying, though, is you get some sort of flexible money, money that you don't owe to anybody, money that isn't earmarked for anything else, and you just stick that money in your pocket all week long. And this is just open money to the Holy Spirit. You say, Jesus, I'm giving this to you. Tell me what to do with this week. And I don't know if you buy some kid's soccer team a bunch of pizzas or if you take a homeless guy out to lunch, but you figure out, like, what's going to put a smile on Jesus' face with whatever amount of money that I'm going to give to be flexible. Because if you've been running around, like, squeezing pennies, it's really hard to be generous when the moment arises. Because even if you do it, you do it, like, bitterly, right? It's like, ugh. And that's not the best way to give. So just get over the, like, ooh, on your own time. And then when you're talking to the homeless person, you can just have a real smile and really be loving with them, right? So this is just like play money for you and Jesus this week. Like, you just get to, it's an adventure to figure out what are we going to do. And you're like, well, why? This is really small steps, Jake. How's this going to change my life? What you're doing is you're opening up a little bit of your life to say, this is a gift from God, and I'm going to be generous with it. And some of us have not approached our time like that in years, as if we had time to spare and we could be generous with God and with other people. Or some of us haven't approached our finances that way. I've got one more big tip for you. This is the most spiritual and most important one. This comes from Jesus. If we go to this next slide here, if you want to write this down, if you've not written anything down today, this is the best thing you can write down. Matthew 7, 7 through 12. Before I talk to you about that passage, though, we've got the picture here of a little kid who can't even see the countertop hardly, but they're reaching up to grab strawberries, right? And if you've had this blessed experience of having little tiny kids at home, you know that little kids like ask for stuff constantly, right? If they're in a good environment where people take care of them, they ask. Mommy, can I have this? Mommy, can I have this? Mommy, can I have this? Or daddy, can I have this? Over and over and over, right? In fact, if you were like a government caseworker or whatever, and you went over to somebody's house to see how they're doing as parents, and if they have little kids around and the kids don't ever ask the parents for anything, that would be like a little bit of a weird thing. You'd be like, what's going on that these three-year-olds don't ask for help? Like, that's not a healthy relationship for a little kid and a parent. We also know if you're a parent and your kid asks you for something like fruit, almost always the parent's like, sure, like happy to give, right? I don't know, between now and the day each one of us dies here on earth, that any of us are going to mature so much beyond like a toddler and a good father relationship with God. I mean, if you're walking around and no matter what happens in your life, you're like Paul in the book of Philippians, and you're like so content and you're like full of goodness even when you're in prison and suffering, like maybe you're a little beyond this. But myself, and I think all of us, like we're still in the boat of like we're like the toddler with Jesus. And if we will be humble enough to realize our position, we should be asking God for a lot of help in our everyday life. You shouldn't go through your workday and never ask God to help you with the paint sprayer or whatever else you're using. Like, you should be talking to him about the stuff that's frustrating you. You shouldn't be a parent and not be asking Jesus to help you with your kids, right? You should be talking throughout the day about like, Jesus, please help me get this. Jesus, please help me succeed at that. It should be a lot. And it comes from a humility. Like, little kids have this humility of like, if they don't ask for the grilled cheese, like they're not eating grilled cheese, right? Like, they have no preconceived notion that they can take care of themselves. Their primary way of getting what they need is to ask for help. We're still in the spiritual condition where like the stuff that's really good for us mostly comes into our life because we say, Jesus, I need your help. So if you want more goodness in your life, more fullness in your life, it starts by saying, Jesus, I need your help. And it does, don't make it super spiritual. This verse, Jesus says, like, ask and you'll receive. And then he goes on to talk about like a good father giving food to their kids when they ask for it. If you want something good, if it's worth putting any hope on, if it's worth putting any effort towards, it's worth asking God for it. If you're going to spend time trying to get it, you should spend time praying about it. And if it's not good for you, the best thing you can do is to have a conversation with Jesus about it. I've had a lot of times where I'm after something in life and I ask God for it, and that's when it finally clicks. Like, I probably shouldn't be trying to get that, right? Like, that's probably not a good thing for me. Praying for stuff is never going to hurt you. Talking to Jesus about something is never going to hurt you. Imagine a toddler in a kitchen. A dad might say, no, you can't have that giant steak knife or whatever, right? Like, the dad might say no sometimes. The toddler's never worse off for genuinely asking for something. When we just start grabbing stuff in the kitchen, you know, that's when we can get hurt. But if we would just have a relationship with the good father, it's only going to do us good. So it's easy to say all this stuff, but think back over your last week. How much did you really ask God for? Like, Jason, I can tell, is thinking about it right now. Like, how much did he really talk to God this week? Or Zach, how much did you really say, Jesus, I need your help? Because when you open that door, Jesus is going to start taking care of you. And when Jesus starts taking care of you, you start to get more grateful. And when you get more grateful, it gets a lot easier to be generous. Like, it all flows together, right? But that leech of, Nick, this is all on your shoulders, that pride of you should be able to handle this. You don't need to ask for help. You just need to work harder. It doesn't take us to where we need to go. It sucks the energy out of us. It's okay to work hard if you've already asked for God's help. But if you haven't even asked for his help yet, like you haven't done the first step, okay? I want to pray a blessing over you guys. It comes from Psalm 68. I'm going to read it to you before I pray it over you guys. This is how we wrap up. It says, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior." So our Lord, like our boss, but also our Savior. And then it describes him this way, "who daily bears our burdens." Let me pray over you. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we praise you because you are our Lord and you are our Savior. And Jesus, I pray over every person in this room. I pray every time they ask you for help with a burden, I pray that you would carry that burden. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.